I'll share the verse. Some of you, or someone here, when you look in the mirror, you see a caterpillar. It's fat, and it can't do much, kind of crawls along, eats a lot. It's just pretty much ugly. But the other side of that mirror, God's looking at you, and he sees the butterfly. See, it's the same. It's the same person. But God sees what you can be, what he's called you to be, and what he wants to make you to be. And they don't even look alike, do they? Paul uses that very picture in Romans 12, 1 and 2. With the second part of the verse, he says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed. And by the way, that Greek word that he uses has to do with the lizard, the chameleon that changes color. You put him on something brown, he turns brown. Put him on something green, he turns green. Paul said, don't be like that. You know, be who you are. Don't be conformed to the world by blending in. But he said, be transformed. And that's the word. The Greek word is metamorphosai. Metamorphosis is the miraculous changing of a caterpillar into a butterfly. And if you didn't see it happen, you'd say, there's no way. But that's what God says when he looks at you. This is what I called you to be. The butterfly with the beautiful colors and the wings that flies high. Not the caterpillar that you see in there. That's what... My question then is, what hinders you from being the butterfly? Which is kind of what the message is about tonight. So somebody is looking at the mirror backwards. You need to look at the mirror the way God does. Because you're beautiful. Whoever this is, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And when you spread those wings out, those beautiful colored wings, and you begin to fly, you're going to fly high. And people are going to look at you and say, look at that beautiful butterfly. You're not the worm. Okay, you're not the worm. Well, as for somebody, I mentioned, sorry about my eyesight leaving, but I mentioned a couple of scriptures earlier, which I only want to refer to, in the Teruah, Shevarim, and the Tekiah, and so on. And there's 119 of these, but we're only going to remember that. Okay, you all know this one. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That is the shofar sound. Okay, that's the alarm sound. The teruah, the alarm. And the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Oh, that's the tekiah. So the tekiah and the teruah are both here. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, the call we haven't done yet is the tekiah gadolah, the last call, the last trumpet. Paul refers to the call on this holiday. See, the holidays in the fall are seen as one grouping of holidays. Like we go from this one, we have 10 days. They're called the 10 days of repentance to Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Then we move into Sukkot, which is the harvest. All the harvest is brought in. And then the king arrives. Little hints on timing of the second coming, isn't it? These have not yet been fulfilled. But Paul zeroes in on this one. He says there will be the last trumpet, the tekiah gadolah, the last trumpet. That's his appearing. And so we have, in Revelation, you see them all. And they're all named. And you see one after the other. And the picture in all this is God's grace. That he doesn't just surprise us. He's saying, you know what? I'm coming soon. And these are reminders of that. So get ready, because the last trumpet will sound. And when that sounds, then there's no more time. But right now there's a little bit. So if you need to get something fixed, get it fixed right now. Because that determines your eternal destiny. There will be a judgment. But you don't have to be there. In the book of Revelation, you know, you're in a different judgment. It's for reward. If you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he has paid the penalty of your sin. And we'll talk about judgment and justice in a little bit. But we have to make a choice. And these holidays are a reminder. Have you made the choice? How are you doing? Where will you be when that last shofar sounds? Well, we said earlier that in this particular holiday, we have it in Leviticus 23. It's in Numbers. It's in Deuteronomy. It just says, it starts off, you blow the shofar. We go, well, Why? Well, it doesn't say at first. It'll be a memorial. A memorial, what are we to remember? What God has done. In the Bible, there's a process of ongoing revelation. God keeps doing stuff. And so later in history, we have more to remember. To where we look back on all the wonderful things he's done. In that list of how many things has he done, we're to remember those things. But all of those things have a unified purpose behind them. Okay, and also, too, we're to remember what he hasn't done. How do you think about this? How can you remember what he hasn't done? It's easy. It's called prophecy. God has promised to do things. They haven't happened yet, but they are surely going to happen. We're to remember the prophetic, the future things. In the book of Revelation, there's two different chapters that have a picture of the throne room in heaven. And the tens of thousands and thousands of people around that throne, from every nation and tribe and kindred and tongue and language and ethnic background. The Great Commission works. There they are. How'd they get there? Maybe those that are standing by you, what a gift from God, huh? That the Lord says, turn around. These are the ones that are here because of you. Whoa, can you imagine that? Of what you did in your ministry and what you said and how you prayed. You prayed for them. Maybe you didn't know that, but your prayer was answered. And they're there because of your faithful praying for their salvation. But at that moment in time, you see, people don't get the connection. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, was whisked into the future. That's a real event that will really happen. And if you are born again, John saw you there. He saw you there. And he wrote it down later. That will be. That will be. And how you react to the gifts that God gives determines if you're there or not. Well, the holiday. Every holiday has a different theme. Well, and by the way, another slight disclaimer, because the clock is my great enemy, as you know. This year, my teachings tonight, Saturday morning, which is called Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of Return, repentance, Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, the messages overlap and continue. So wherever I leave off tonight, we pick up. It's an ongoing thing. So if it ends kind of abrupt, it's not over. You have to come back. Okay, you have to keep coming back. You won't get a bill, though. Okay, you will not get a bill. I promise. Okay, but the theme of each holiday is different. This one is repentance. The theme is repentance. The sound of the shofar, one of the reasons to blow it is that it's a reminder, judgment is coming. I mean, there's several verses in Scripture that basically say, you can't get away with sin. Your sins will find you out. You know, sooner or later, it's going to be all revealed. Okay, just know that. Just know that. So you have time to do something about that. Judgment is coming. You're accountable for what you do. You're accountable. There's a day of accounting. Or like I mentioned earlier, or as we look at this holiday, instead of judgment, we go to Yom Kippur, or atonement could come. Which would you prefer? Okay, God has provided the atonement. And you have to choose it. And you have to ask for it. And if you don't, you're going to get the judgment all right. But you don't have to get the judgment. He's provided a way out. He's provided a way of forgiveness. It's traditional at this holiday, synagogues all over the world, to take a look at what's called the Akedah, or Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac, and those instructions. We've spent years past, the entire evening we spent, talking about that. Not tonight, however, a couple of verses. That picture is a phenomenal picture. That picture starts off with every time God talked to Abraham, it was really good news. Abraham, yes, it was Abraham, Abraham. By the way, when you hear the name twice, in Hebrew, that's a sign of special affection and love. So we have a tone of voice from God. Moses had it. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The tone of voice was love and affection. It's like not what he deserved, huh? Whoa. Abraham, Abraham, yes, Lord. One day God said, I'm going to give you a son. And then I'm going to make of you a great nation. Every time God talks, I get something good. Abraham, Abraham, yes. I want you to take your son. No, yeah. Your only son. Yeah. The one you love. Yeah. And offer him as a sacrifice unto me. And he stops talking. He knew the voice. But here's a picture. A picture. And some people don't get it, because what you have here is the phenomenal picture of love of a father to a son. But it's father to son up in heaven as well. The love of a father to a son. Can you imagine what Abraham was feeling as they walked to Moriah? As they walked that way? What's he feeling? I know the voice. I mean, God said he's going to make of him a nation. How can he make of him a nation if he dies? How can I do this to my son? How can I offer up my son? What a picture. God is offering up his son. That will happen. That will happen. Take your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice. It's also a picture of the love of a son to his father, because he went with him. He submitted. He did ask one little question along the way. You know, I see the fire and I see the wood and stuff, but I don't see a lamb anywhere. And the response was, God will provide the lamb. Prophetic. Because at that moment that Yeshua appears at the Jordan River, John the Baptist would say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God provided the lamb. But what's going to happen in this particular case? And at that moment, when the knife was coming down, God said, stop, stop. And he provided the ram in the thicket. And then he said to Abraham, because you did not withhold your son, catch this, your only son whom you love, I will not withhold my love from you. What a picture. But you see, God did not withhold his son. He gave his son, his only son. Now we, so many years later, believers, messianic Christian, whatever you want to call ourselves, are we the only ones who make that connection? Read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. They made it way back then. They, in fact, the author of Hebrews even inserts a nice little word. Your son, your only son, your only begotten son, he makes that connection. That's a picture of what God would do for us. The love of a father to a son and a son to his father. This time of the year, we are to remember. Another picture is the prodigal son. The prodigal son. Some of you have prodigal sons, huh? Keep praying, because they're going to come home. They're going to come home. Keep praying. Keep praying. When the son came to himself, he says, you know, my father's servants have it better than this. I'm going to go home, and I'm just going to ask to be a servant. Boy, this went from this proud, haughty to, I just want to be my dad's servant. But his dad was looking for him down the road, was watching, and look, picture of repentance. What's God's heart on repentance? It's like, well, you know what you deserve? You know, when Paul heard these words, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you? I'm Yeshua, who you have been persecuting. Maybe he's thinking, I am in the worst trouble possible. Yeshua did not bring up the problem, did he? He said, get up, I have a job for you. Okay? He didn't bring it up. He didn't need to. He didn't need to. Paul right then understood grace, right then. And he spent his whole life teaching about grace, teaching about grace. But when the prodigal son was coming home, the father was looking and watching. He had the speech all planned. I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be your son. It's all true. As he starts his speech, his father says, yeah, that's okay. Here, get a new robe, a coat for him, get the ring. We're going to have a party. He didn't care. He just wants his son to come home. That's the heart of God for you. These are the pictures in Scripture that has God's heart. He doesn't want to bring up all the junk. He wants to forgive all the stuff. If you just come home into the arms of a loving father, that picture. On the road to Damascus, Paul found himself in the arms of a loving Messiah, falling to the ground. Who are you, Lord? I'm Yeshua, whom you're persecuting. But then the words, what do you want me to do? If you say that, he'll answer you. He'll answer you. This time of the year, because of the theme, we ask the question, well, then what is it that hinders us from the relationship with God that is the best? What is it that hinders us? What keeps us from having a close relationship with him? Is it a sin? What sin is it? Psalm 66:18 says this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You mean like when I pray and nothing happens? It could be because of sin. Uh-huh. And God's response is, I can't hear you. Any former Marines here? Okay, more like it. That's right. I too am a former Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And every time I'd say something, they'd say, I can't hear you, because I have to say it really loud, right? Well, sin hinders our prayers. Say, I pray this all the time and nothing happens. Take a look in here. Maybe there's something that's hindering it. By the way, I have some suggestions tonight on that. We're not just shooting in the dark here. When the shofar is sounded, it's the alarm. It's a call to worship, call to repent. God is about to act. Repentance is supposed to bring restoration. The prodigal son was restored. What can hinder God's hearing our cry of repentance? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Because we're going to zero in on one and continue on Saturday with this. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, not the Sermon on the Amount, okay? The Sermon on the Mount. See, we're not going to, no bills. The greatest sermon ever preached. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and I can't get out of the offering thing, can I? If you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Well, we all kind of knew that verse, didn't we? But do we do that verse? You see, in Jewish thinking, you don't know it until you do it. The theme of the Bible, the overall theme, is God's plan of redemption, His plan of salvation. It presents the problem, sin. Sin separates us from God, hinders us from His plan and purpose being done in our life. It presents our need. We have a need to be forgiven. It presents God's provision. He's provided the Messiah, His Son. To satisfy that need, He brings forgiveness. He provides the solution to the problem. Yeshua paid for our sin. One of my favorite verses, 1 Peter 2:24. Yeshua, bore our sin in His body on the tree. You were personally involved. Your sin was put in His body. You caused Him pain. I caused Him pain. That's pretty up close and personal. All right? And He's given us a message. He's given us a message to proclaim to the world forgiveness. That's the message, forgiveness. Other religions don't proclaim that stuff. We have the answer to the problem. It's Him. It's a pretty simple answer. I could give you a little quiz on that on forgiveness, and you'll all get an A. You know how to answer the questions on forgiveness. Why, then, is the simplest of biblical concepts one of the most difficult for us to put into practice? That's where we're going tonight and Saturday. We call ourselves either Christians or Messianic. It's the same word. One is the Greek form and one is the Hebraic form. It means Messiah-like. Messiah-like. We're to be like Him. We're to teach what He taught. We're to do what He did. He's our role model. We're to live the life that He taught. We're to be His ambassadors. We represent Him. He's the great shepherd. Means pastor. He's our great pastor. The ultimate pastor. We're to do what He does. But again, not just to know what He does. You see, knowing and doing. The book of James, that great picture, the hearing and the doing. You don't know it until you do it. It's not just passing the quiz. You have to do it. Then you know it. We're to do the message. When we go somewhere, we need to do the message. What did He say at the crucifixion? Worst possible situation. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, you all know that one? Father, forgive them. He also said earlier, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things that I say? Ooh, that hurts, huh? Well, he's my Lord. Well, then why do you do what he says? Worse yet, some people don't know what he says. Don't call yourself a Christian or a messianic believer and not know what he said, please. Okay? You are accountable if you use that name to know what he said. And you're choosing to do what he said. Why did you do what I say? Including forgiveness. Well, okay, well, it's easy for us to advise others. Oh, yeah, you should do this. You should forgive them. We know all the answers. You were offended, you should forgive them. Okay? Until it happens to us. Okay? Then it's a little bit different, huh? Well, that's different. I mean, we've been offended. We've been slandered, cheated. They stole from me, and so on. We want justice for those people. They should get what they deserve. Justice means you are guilty, you pay. That's justice. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? That's where that one judgment is going to be. Except when we sin, we want grace and mercy, don't we? But we want grace and mercy. We come before you, Lord, and claim your promises of grace and mercy. That's when we do it. Do you want what you deserve? Not justice, but whole justification. The same root, but really different words. Justification is you are guilty, but someone else pays. That's what I want. He provided. He pays for my guilt. For my guilt. Several times in Scripture, going back to Abraham, it says this. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. There's an accounting. And that act of faith changed the books. Changed the books. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Let's go one more step. Let's dig the trench deeper. Is it possible that we as believers who know all this stuff can pass the test, that sometimes we want revenge because people, the way they've hurt us and what they've done to us and said about us and they've stolen from us? Okay? On those that have offended us, do we want revenge? Is it possible, let's go a little bit deeper in the trench, that we, even as some leaders, would just as soon have God not forgive them? Is that possible? I mean, are there any biblical examples of leaders feeling like that? How about Jonah? And next weekend, we're going to be talking a little bit about Jonah, a prophet called to give God's message. And God said one day, a little surprise, Jonah, I want you to give it to your enemy. Excuse me? No, I want to give it to my friends. No, I want you to give it to your enemy, the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the cruelest, meanest possible people ever. And Jonah was supposed to go and offer them a chance to repent. He went the other way, right? He did not want God to forgive them. I'm not going to give away all the stuff on Jonah tonight, but there's some humor in that book where Jonah is just hoping the city's going to be blown up and burnt, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And when the people repent and the king pronounces, people turn from your sin. Wouldn't that be cool if the White House announced it on CNN? Wouldn't that be the coolest thing? And he's on his face praying. It can't happen. It did in Jonah's time to Nineveh. And so they all believe in the God of Israel. The God of Israel. Okay? And Jonah was on the side of the hill saying, you know, Lord, it's just like you to forgive. It's just like you to do that, isn't it? It's just to be, to show mercy and grace. Yes! Hallelujah! It's just like him to do that. You know, that's the whole story. That's our message. But we're not to give it just to our friends. It means we'll give it to our enemies, because when they repent, they're no longer our enemies, huh? That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. So, let's bring it closer to home. Forget the people in Nineveh. You all know where Nineveh is, right? It's Iraq. Okay, some things haven't changed. On the map. The map is still the same today. All right? Now, let's dig a little deeper, closer to home. I think we have three possibilities of looking at this holiday of things we may need to do. Remember, it's not that it's what we need to do. Number one, do you need to ask forgiveness of the Lord for something out of order in your life? I want you to ask that question. none of my business what it is between you and him, is do you need to ask him for forgiveness of something that's out of order in your life, something that's hindering you from all you can be, from being that butterfly, okay? Second one, do you need to forgive someone else? This is getting harder. Who has offended you? There's no verse that says that's easy. That is hard, to forgive someone else who has offended you, because you and I want justice, right? No, you don't. You don't want justice. You want grace. You want grace. Or number three, do you need to go to someone that you have offended and ask for forgiveness? Do you? A part of this holiday is asking God that question. Lord, if there's one of these things I need to do, will you show me and give me the anointing and strength to go and do the right thing and do it? Irregardless of their response, if they still hate me, who cares? I need to do the right thing. If Yeshua could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do at that point, none of you have been offended that bad. Okay? The Lord's Prayer. We all can quote it. We sing it, the whole thing. What about the part where it says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? Oh, you mean the way, okay, then the way I forgive, I want to receive forgiveness. I like getting it, but I don't, no, you see, it goes like this. Better yet, turn to Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. Still, Matthew 6, verse 14. And this was said right after the giving of the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, if we receive forgiveness, we need to be able to give it. And we'll all pass the quiz on that, right? Yes, that's the right thing. Until you're offended. Well, that hurts. Yes. And I got news for you. Your sin hurts him. Okay? Your sin hurts him. He's been hurt because of us. And a part of this whole thing is to see how he feels. We're to go to people and make it right. Or it hinders our prayers from being answered. So it's none of my business what the problem is, but at this time of the year, seek those things. Lord, if there's something that's hindered me, show me what it is. I want to make it right. I want to make it right. This evening at sunset began what's called the 10 days of repentance leading to Yom Kippur. That's a picture of grace right there, that God gives us some time to pray, to work through these things, to repent, to make things right, to do the right thing. So pray that God will reveal to you all that hinders your relationship with him and with others, not just believers, unbelievers. Maybe you need to go to an unbeliever and be the example of the Messiah. And do the right thing. Yeah, but they're not believers. So what? Maybe they will be when they see your faith in action. Maybe they will. As he reveals, if you ask, he'll reveal it to you. And as he reveals, you act. You do. If we ask for forgiveness, we need to be able to give and offer forgiveness. Remember Zacchaeus in Luke? He not only made things right with restitution, he did it four times more. He cheated people, but he gave them back four times what he cheated. That's a changed heart. That's a changed heart, okay? You know, I don't know what's happened in your past. Have you cheated people? Have you stolen? Make it right. Make it right. Maybe your employer that you stole from, embezzled from, or whatever, who's not a believer, when you come to him in humility and say, you know what? I sinned against you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That might touch their heart. Because you don't have to do that. But you know, if you want to walk with him and ask for the forgiveness, you need to be able to go other ways too. And maybe that would touch that person's heart of saying, you know, God must be real because he's talking to you. And you didn't have to do that. I would have never known. And now you've chosen to make it right. What must I do to make this right? Good question. and make it right. Make it right. Now we're at the end, because remember we're at Daniel and the scale, so remember I told you this at the beginning? Last week in Ron's message, great picture, but that's also a picture of this holiday season. There are scales, okay, and they teeter. Which way are they going to go? In Daniel, the handwriting on the wall. And by the way, the handwriting is on the wall. Judgment is coming. In that case, the scales went the wrong way. He said, that tonight you die. You're done. No more time. But which way will they go? You see, if you do the right thing, it'll teeter the other way. It'll teeter the other way. When that great shofar is sounded, the final one, what will be your destiny? What will be your destiny? Because the one judgment, you won't be there. The other one, you know what it is? It's a huge worship service. It's a gigantic time of praise, worship, and it's really loud. It is. It talks about it's loud there. Tremendous praise or judgment. Your eternal destiny is determined by these choices, by these choices. So pray. There's still time. And we'll continue this message on Saturday, but do the right thing as God speaks to you. Let's all stand.